Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And as Tony mentioned, yes, it is quickly approaching a very important day if you're involved in a relationship and if that significant other really likes that day.
Ooh.
Yeah, there are a bunch of people. And I read this interesting article where millennials don't care for these kinds of, what do they call them, Hallmark holidays. So,
I know.
But there's those who think that, and we talk about this every year, how important that is for the ladies to get that flower delivery at work. That just sends them over the moon.
Big time.
Yeah.
That's to the moon and back.
Right.
I know that when I'm helping with deliveries and I take something into someone's place of employment, everybody pops up from up underneath the cubicles like meerkats, and they look around.
Yeah.
Who are the flowers for?
Yeah, who's those for?
So, you know, I don't know. So the millennials aren't into this.
No, I read this article last week where they view those kinds of things as just
hokey, costly.
Yeah.
Really?
And so they don't participate in those. They all go trick-or-treating. just a joke.
No, there you go.
That's just a joke.
But, you know, what a way to express your feelings for somebody.
Yeah.
You know, if it's somebody you're in love with or somebody you admire, or somebody that you want to get.
Closer. Family show. Okay.
Well, no. I'm with you. Hey, this is PG rated.
Yeah.
We're good. But, you know, in the Victorian times, it wasn't appropriate to tell somebody how you felt about them.
And that lingered for centuries.
Long time, you know.
There are still men.
You struggled back then, didn't you, Ernie? You couldn't tell somebody what you thought or how you thought about them. So
men that practiced
now,
that.
Now, fast forward to today, it's not a problem, is it?
No.
But that's where the symbolic meaning behind the colors of roses and various flowers really started.
Right.
You know, it was Queen Victoria that we can really thank for all of this. But, you know, and still to this day, the British, the Europeans, put a great deal of emphasis on the meaning of flowers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they still cherish that and think that way today, more so than most of us here in the United States.
Right.
It's, you know, but what a wonderful way to express your feelings for somebody.
Sure.
You know, so take the time to, you know, call your local florist and place an order, have it delivered to your significant other's place of employment. And that's big. That's huge.
Yeah.
I can't say that enough. You have no idea. But, you know, what's really cool about roses, when you give someone roses, kind of be a little careful as to what you're really trying to say.
Yeah. So if you walk in and go, I'm looking for something that's very non-committal, but where I'm interested. What color is that?
I would probably choose either yellow or pink.
I meant that as a joke, but there really is some that are just kind of like, oh, wow, well, I kind of like you.
Yeah, sure.
Really?
For example, during Victorian times, you know, and this is, you know, this is where all this came into play.
Right.
The yellow rose back then symbolized jealousy. But today it's a totally different meaning.
Right. Okay.
Today, you know, it symbolizes, you know, it represents, I should say, like joy, you know, celebrating something good that happened with a close friend.
Sure.
Friendship.
Okay.
Caring. So yellow might be one that I would consider sending to somebody that I didn't know very well.
Mm-hmm. Or just starting in a relationship.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Okay.
And the reason why I said pink, too, you know, pink kind of shows appreciation or admiration, happiness. So that might be another option right there. And red, of course, you know what red means, don't you?
I love you.
Absolutely. So lover's rose. And typically, most guys will send red.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you were to survey women, for the most part, they would prefer colored roses over red. It's guys are the ones that predominantly buy red.
Yeah.
But a lot of roses are going to be sold this week, that's for sure.
Yeah. And this the important thing there you just mentioned is to get those orders placed now.
Yeah, don't wait till the day of.
Wednesday morning at 8:05.
When we have a couple hundred deliveries. And, hey, can you get that out there at Ackerman High School by 2 o'clock?
Mm.
No, it's. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen like that.
Yeah.
You know, place that order now. And it's a crazy day, and it's crazy enough as it is. We do our best to get all those deliveries out in a timely fashion.
Sure.
But it gets really, really difficult. And there are people that put these time constraints on deliveries. And they don't, you know, it's like, hey, do you want it by this time, by 10:30 a.m.? I have to charge you extra, but I'll have it there by 10:30.
Right, right.
Other than that, just give us the course of the day to make that delivery happen. But, you know, it's really cool. You know, when you talk about the rose and you give someone a rose or you give someone roses, you know, you're speaking to them in a confidential kind of way, you know. You know, roses tell a story, and the Latin expression for, there's a term called sub rosa, called under the rose, means something told in secret.
Ooh.
So that is a good thing that you can send somebody something, right. And it could be color specific, and if they take the time to look it up and see what it means, they might be surprised.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
you know, I wonder why they use red roses on The Bachelor.
Love. Are you hooked?
No.
Are you hooked on that show?
No. It was a joke.
Come on, I still like you if you watch it. It's good.
We're talking about roses, and Valentine's Day is coming up, and got a lot more things going on too. We're going to cover in just a few minutes. Matter of fact, when we come back, we're going to continue talking about the colors of the roses that you are going to be sending for Valentine's Day. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And right now we are the gurus of love. We're talking about.
You know it. You just hit the note. We are.
Yeah.
You got to love us.
Spreading the love. So we were talking about the colors of roses, some of your options, and you don't want to always just go with red.
No, not necessarily. And you know what? You don't really have to send roses. There are some beautiful lilies out there that you can send someone with delphinium and other various combinations of flowers that go well with that arrangement.
Any floral arrangement will work.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And definitely support your local florist. You know, you have Fort Thomas florist, you have Jackson florist, you have Robbins florist, McCabe's florist, you have H.J. Binken. Support your local florist. That's all I can say and ask that you do. You'll get a better quality product. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
But going back to the colors of roses, what color would you send? You know, I shouldn't even ask you this because I know you're colorblind.
Yeah.
So you might need help picking something out of the cooler.
Mm-hmm.
If you happen to stop by a florist, you know somebody that owns a florist, right?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to send something to somebody that you might desire or you have enthusiasm about, what color do you think you might send?
Purple.
You're close.
I'm close.
You're blue. Close.
Well, they don't.
Is there really? There are roses that are close to a blue shade, but not quite blue. I've seen white roses dyed blue.
Yeah. I don't know. I give up.
Orange. Yes.
Huh.
If you're looking to express admiration and attraction, that's the rose for you.
Uh-huh.
See, it doesn't have to be red.
No.
But it's all about the person who's receiving it. Are they going to take the time to look up the true meaning of the color of the rose that you sent to them?
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad to include that in the delivery.
They might even say, who's that from?
Mm-hmm.
I know what that means. I don't want it.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be bad. You know what? I've delivered flowers for people where I could tell you some funny, funny stories.
Well, let's hear a couple of them. Don't name names.
No. Never involve a client's name.
No.
There was someone that I know that kept sending roses to his wife.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those facilities that it was on like lockdown. You needed a special key to get in,
right.
Or a code. And,
gotcha.
And you just hope like heck somebody comes out of the front door like, oh, you can get in. And would call and call and call and ask me, did you get those delivered? Did you get those delivered? Yeah, I did, bud.
Yeah, yeah.
What does she say? She didn't answer the door. I left them by the door. So the next time I would take another dozen. And I kid you not, there's a dozen I took the time before. The
first time?
Oh, they're just, yeah, they're wilted. They're turning brown. It's like, dude, give up. Give up.
Wow.
But yeah, you never know. And I've had those people that will not accept them. You know, maybe something was going on.
Right.
Or bad vibes.
Yep.
I don't want anything from this person.
Apology denied.
Yeah. And it just, I've seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it all. So it's kind of funny. The lavender or purple rose symbolizes enchantment, mystique about somebody. You know, we all like that mystique element about somebody. We find very, very interesting.
Yeah.
So you might want to consider a lavender or a purple rose.
So I like that.
That's where you were just a moment ago.
Yeah, no, that's Lisa's favorite color rose, the purple one.
Because I remember you sending lavender to her before.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, you remember that. That's what's important.
Yes.
Absolutely. So if you haven't yet, contact your local florist and place your orders. And support your local florist. On average, 68 cents of every dollar we spend in the local economy stays local.
Mm-hmm.
Most importantly, when ordering flowers from your local florist, you will always receive a quality product, friendly advice, guaranteed satisfaction from a professional group of people.
Agreed.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So and we'll talk about that later on in the show. We'll remind those who have yet to wake up that it's Valentine's Day next Wednesday.
It's quickly approaching. You know what else is quickly approaching? Spring. And
I can't wait.
Not me either. I saw someone post the other day. There was a countdown. I think yesterday there was only 38 days, maybe 37 days till spring. Blink, blink, blink. It'll be here.
That's amazing. You know, we were just in the fall season last year. I remember that clearly. Then, you know, turned into the winter. How fast time flies.
It does.
And, hey, bud, I got something to tell you. After the show today, you'll never guess where I'm headed.
Where?
To a bed bug extermination.
Oh.
Now, this is interesting. We have
that sounds like a party.
We have a new advertiser that's going to be joining us on In and Around the House.
Great.
It's Webb's Exterminating. And Ken Webb's is the owner, proprietor of Webb's Exterminating.
Okay.
And I met Ken, great guy, former military person, offers military discounts.
Good.
But last night, Tina nudges me, and she goes, are you still going to do that bed bug thing? I was laughing. I'm thinking, where did this come from? Because I thought she had forgotten about it.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. And she goes, no, you're not. Please don't go. And I was like, yeah, I want to see how this is all done.
Yeah.
But contact Webb's Exterminating, and I'm looking forward to this today after the show, so it's not going to take long. If you have some issues with roaches, fleas, ants, termites, you name it, bed bugs, give Ken Webb's a call, 513-987-WEBS, which is 9239. And or you can go to the website, websexterminating.com. So I'm going to bring it to you next Saturday.
Nice.
As to what happens, because I'm going to do a little bit of
a little research,
little videotaping.
Okay.
So the client is allowed and agreed to allow us to do this, but it will be discreet. But I'm anxious to see how this heat treatment process takes place and what it does to the bed bug. Isn't that eerie?
I like it. I can't wait.
Our friend who was on the overnight last night.
Jacoby?
Yeah. Told me I'm in for a rude awakening because he knows what they're all about.
And gotcha.
He goes, you can get those on airplanes, if it's a dirty plane. You can get them wherever.
749-B105, headed around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Going to pause for a moment. When we come back, we have Donna on the line from Western Hills. Going to talk about some more flowers. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Going to be a great day to get to your locally owned garden center. And Tony, we have Donna on the line from Western Hills. Donna, thanks for hanging on. What kind of flower question do you have for you? You're looking for suggestions?
I am. My daughter's birthday is on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
So I usually get her something, a combination of her birthday, Valentine's Day together. So I was trying to figure out maybe what would be the best flower to try to send her.
You know, there's a number of different things that you have to choose from and select from. And really one of my favorites, because this bloom is so stunning and so vibrant in color, they don't look real, is the Gerbera daisy. Are you familiar with that particular daisy?
There's, I think, but I'm not real sure.
They're stunning. And they're almost the size of the palm in my hand. And it doesn't take a lot to really fill a vase full of Gerbera daisies. And I like to keep things in a monochromatic kind of color scheme, or where they complement one another, so to speak. But I would think about Gerber daisies. I also love lilies. You know, lilies are very fragrant. Some people don't like the fragrance. It's a little too strong. There's delphinium. Another flower that I like a lot is Ostromeria. Holds up extremely, extremely well. You get the longevity element from Ostromeria. And just regular, you know, button daisies or pom-poms. Those are nice in bunches. Trying to think some other things. Hydrangeas. Now, you'll get a little bit of time out of a hydrangea, but not as long as some of the other flowers. But beautiful, beautiful bloom heads to say the least. And they're right. They're just drop-dead gorgeous as well. And there's a number, you know, I like carnations too. A lot of people think that carnations are a cheap flower. Well, they kind of used to be, but they've been going up in price recently. But the value of the carnation is this. There's an array of colors to choose from. They last a long time. I like carnations. There's a lot of people that think that they're like cheap junk flowers. I'm here to tell you differently. Another one of my favorites, too, and when they open up, they're gorgeous, and I love the length of the stem, are gladiolus. A lot of people associate that with funeral work, though. And, you know, you got to get out of that mindset. You know, yeah, they always use glads in a lot of funeral work. Stock, that's another one. Stock, once it reaches room temperature, you know, we always keep them in the cooler. Very, very, very fragrant. So go to your local florist and just ask them if you can go back to the cooler area, see what they have in the cooler. We do that all the time at Jackson's.
Okay.
You know, when somebody, you know, they're interested in an arrangement or a bouquet, don't always feel compelled like you have to buy out of the display case, because we like for you to come behind the scenes and see what we have to offer. And if you already have a vase or a vase, as Ernie calls it, you know, you don't need a vase or, you know, to take along with you. You know, just get it wrapped. They can put them in water picks or special to-go like packages where they're still drawing water. And when you take them home, get a packet of food preservative. Mix it with a quart of water where it's dissolved thoroughly. Put a fresh cut back on your flower stems at a 45-degree angle, because that allows more water to get up it. And use a sharp knife, and they'll last a long time. I love irises, too. I wish irises, they don't last as long as I like for them to. Usually it's a few days, 3 to 4 days. But when they start to fade off, I pull those out of the arrangement and just leave the rest of it intact. And there's nothing more satisfying or gratifying than when you have flowers on the kitchen table. Flowers make us all feel great. And your daughter would love those Gerber daisies. So stop by one of your local florists and just ask what they have in Gerber daisies, and ask them to show you what, you know, what colors they have.
Okay. I usually go up to Robin's, so.
Yeah, Pepper. Yeah. Yeah, ask Kim or
George is doing.
Yeah, you know, boy, I haven't seen George in a while. As a matter of fact, I talked to Ron last night, and he told me his dad's doing well. And he's not at the florist as often as he used to be. But, you know, George's his spirit is always there, to say the least.
He's the bird man with that bird on on his pith helmet.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. I was a very good friend of his, George's sister, Agnes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
All right. Well, thank you very much, and have a great day.
All right.
You do the same.
You.
Thank you.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. George was a good guy. We were out there. He was a lot of fun.
Still is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just doesn't hang out at the garden center like he used to.
And, boy, talk about somebody who was a bundle of energy. It was hard to keep up with him when we were out there filming that day. He was on the run all the time.
I tell you what, that guy can grow some snaps.
Yeah.
Oh, my. No one any better than George.
Two snaps up.
Two snaps up. Yes, but I think the world of George. And as a matter of fact, we were talking, Katie and I, one day over a couple of beers, and this idea came up because...
I didn't get that invite. Did you get that invite?
Well, we invite you all the time, but you're too busy with the Masonic Temple. You got the little Shirley Temple thing going on all the time every weekend. But we were talking about what can we do for Father's Day. There's a lot of us in the industry. My father's still a part of the industry.
Yeah.
Todd, down at Baton's, his father, Earl. You take Ron, his father, George.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take Bob, his father, Clint. There's a lot of us in this industry that still have, we're fortunate enough that we can still work alongside with our fathers.
Very nice.
And I think that would be a nice added touch to have everybody in at some point or do work it somehow, to where we can talk about where the business is today, where it was yesteryear, and maybe even kind of like look into the future, where is it going? But there's been a lot of changes between what my father has seen and what he's seeing today and what I'm seeing. But I think that would be a great show topic. There's a lot of us who are still connected. And again, very fortunate to work alongside with our fathers. And that is priceless.
Could not agree more. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Have to pause for a moment. When we come back,
let's talk about pollinators.
Oh,
because pollinators are very important. Who are they?
I've got a...
Why are they important? And how can we help?
I've got a great little story to share with you. It has a tragic end, but it's sort of funny. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we've been sharing a little information about the colors of roses to send on Valentine's Day. And we're also getting you ready for spring. And Tony brought up some pollinators and how important they are and how we can help them. And after he tells that story, I'll share a little info.
Go ahead. Start with your story. That's cute.
This was pretty funny. I guess a couple of weeks ago, Lisa, my wife, noticed a bee in the house. Now, our niece up north is a beekeeper. She has started, I guess, maybe 4 or 5 years ago and has a nice little accumulation of bees. And Lisa's contacted her. And if I got this part of the story right, it's a queen that has left the hive stay warm or protect herself or something. And her advice was just to leave it alone. It'll be fine. And then it'll work its way out of the house as soon as the weather is appropriate for it to be outside. So we've been kind of watching it, and it goes in where Lisa has all of her flowers in the office, and it'll spend some time in there, and it'll come out by the window. Well, Gideon, our 3.5-year-old grandson, was at the house Thursday night. And I hear him yell, "Papa, there's a bug in here." And I went over, and there was the bee. I didn't have time.
Be careful. He didn't get stung?
He stepped on it. If it got down on the floor, and he pounced on it. So I haven't had the heart to tell Lisa.
She knows now, I'm sure. Yeah. Lisa, did you hear that? Yeah.
But he was helping out with the bug control.
You're killing
me. Yeah.
But, you know, in one bee's okay, I guess. We're all right.
Yeah.
But we want to protect our pollinators. You know, who are they? Well, they are the bees. And yeah, there's a number of different bees, as a matter of fact. You know, we have the honey bees. There's over 4,000 species of native bees. That's hard to believe in the United States.
Wow. Didn't know that.
I don't have time to count all those. Do you?
No. No.
No, you're busy. I know you're busy with the Masonic Temple. You would not even have the least bit of time to count all those bees.
No.
But you have the bumblebee. You have the sweat bee. You have the carpenter bee, the digger bee, the leafcutter bee, mason bees. You ought to know those guys. Yeah.
I didn't know about a leafcutter bee. I never heard about that.
Absolutely. So, as a matter of fact, I need to put a picture on Facebook what the leafcutter bee, what the damage looks like on a leaf on a plant. It's perfectly circular. It's almost the size
of... It's like the carpenter bee.
Yeah, it's almost the size of... You'll see these, like, on the edge of the leaf of a plant. It's almost like the very edge of it looks like the... It's about the size of an eraser on a pencil. And they just make that little circular cut and take it back to the nest.
Wow.
So that's
the
leaf
cutter bee. Yeah, I gotta check that
out. Yeah, I should have posted a photograph on Facebook.
But
anyhow, you know, some of the bees, too, you know, they form colonies. And, you know, you have some of those bees that are solitary, kind of like you. You know, they just go out on their own, hang out in the woods or underground. But, you know... Bees are one of the most popular, well-known pollinators to man, to all of us. We need them. Secondly, there are butterflies. You know, they're very important when it comes to pollinating.
Sure.
Yeah. As well as, believe this or not, you want to throw one. What else do you think is a pollinator?
Hummingbirds.
Yes, very good.
Very
good, Ernie.
Yeah.
Ding!
I need a
You want to guess another one?
Let's see.
They're pesky. You wouldn't even imagine why you'd want to attract these guys.
Mosquitoes. Gnats.
No.
Relatives from out of town.
There you go. Great pollinators. Don't let them in the honey when they come into the house. Right. Flies.
Flies. Yeah. That's where I was going next.
You know, flies pollinate the... To give you an example, the American pawpaw tree.
Oh, yeah. Or the pawpaw festival coming up.
Queensland lace. They do that annually late in the year.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to one of
those? No,
I've never eaten a pawpaw either. I've been telling you that for like 3 or 4 years. Also, think about this. Moth. The moth is a pollinator.
Oh, yeah.
Not every flower opens during the day. There are some flowers that open at night. Don't ask me which ones they are, but anyhow, the moth is there to do that pollination.
To feast on it and to pollinate.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Really is.
Mother Nature just balances herself out with this biodiversity kind of approach. It's incredible how things kind of work.
Right. I wonder if those, I guess the fruit bats, would they be pollinators too?
You know, bats are pollinators.
Yes.
Gosh, I'm trying to think of the book I read. The Drunken Botanist, Amy Stewart, I think, is the author. That's a great book, by the way. I remembered, and a bat is a pollinator. As a matter of fact, the bat will pollinate the agave plant out in the desert.
Interesting.
Yeah. So good call right there.
Yeah.
Beetles.
John, you know, Paul, George, and Ringo.
Yeah, all four of them.
They did their fair share of pollinating.
Don't get me laughing because I had this cold. I'm going to start coughing. I won't be able to stop.
Let's pause for a moment. 749. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And
there are those pollinators.
There are the pollinators.
The beetles.
Oddly enough, it was this week, I believe, in 1964 that the Beatles were in town.
Really?
Doing a little pollinating.
Wow. That was good, Ernie. That was good. Those are our pollinators, and they're so important there's an interesting fact that in the United States, 1/3 of all the agricultural output is dependent upon pollinators.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's incredible. It really is. It's an astonishing number. And domestically, honeybees pollinate well over $30 billion worth of crops in the U.S. each year.
No kidding.
And just think about that. That's why they're important.
Sure, sure.
You know, who are they? We just told you who they are. And why are they important? Right there. That's the perfect reason why they're important. And you know something else, Ernie? If you think about it, you know, the fruits, the vegetables that we pick up every day and we take for granted in the grocery store, you know, the oils, we know, I mean, we get oils from various different types of fruits and nuts, okay? Medicines, other products that are derived from plants. Without pollination, reproduction of plants would be non-existent. And we are that dependent upon pollinators. That's why that's important.
Certainly.
And, you know, our good friend Pam over at Turpin Turf Farms.
Right.
You know, she's really into the pollinators and various things.
Yeah.
And we need to reach out to her and have her in again and talk more about pollinators. But it's so, so important. They play such an important role in our lives. So that's why we need to protect them. You know, we just, it's one of those things you don't think about every day. You know, you get up every day, you expect the sun to be out. What would ever happen that day the sun never shows up? We take those things for granted.
Yeah.
So now what? What do we do? What's our role in all this?
To protect them.
Or are we overreacting when we talk about protecting the pollinators or doing our part?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, we all have to be a little more Mother Nature friendly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, where do we go from here when we talk about pollinators and what is it that we really, really, really need to do? And that is intervention.
Uh-huh.
And that's our part. You know, unfortunately, numbers of both native and domesticated bee populations are on a decline still. And we're doing everything that we need to do to help, you know, preserve that, restore that. And did you say that earlier, did I hear you not say that you have a friend that's a beekeeper?
Our niece.
How long?
Jessica Hines, just a couple of years. She just she got in through a friend of hers. She started working for a beekeeper and then started her own colony. That was the word I was looking for. And then also have another friend of mine.
It's one of the 13 colonies, the original? There you go.
And Beverly Willman, another friend of mine, over off of DeCourcy has a couple of bee colonies.
You know, we need to reach out to somebody in the Northern Kentucky,
keeping community. Yeah. I could talk to Beverly.
I even think Steve Lowe, if I remember correctly, from over at Baton's, he's a beekeeper too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, what is the initial cost to set up something like that?
Well, it'd be interesting to find out. Right. Yeah.
You know, I could see you in a big white suit out there with that, all the gear on and smoking them out.
Oh, yeah.
Calming them down.
I'm in.
You're in.
Yeah.
You look like, you know, you have plenty of room back here, too. Where you
Oh, yeah. Up on that hill. That'd be a perfect place to put that, right in the middle of all those wildflowers and
behind
everything.
Behind your house.
Yeah.
Behind.
I like that. Lisa and I have honestly, we've talked about that a couple of times, going, you know, it'd be great to have a nice little bee colony back there.
Interesting. You know, but like I said, the numbers are on a decline, and a lot of that has to do with, in a lot of ways, habitat loss, you know, progression, the new development. You know, we're destroying areas that once, you know, where these areas were prevalent with bees and other types of insects and pollinators. Yeah. So habitat loss is huge. Disease, you know, that's a big factor. And this is one that's really a hot button, and it's a very touchy subject, is excessive and inappropriate use of pesticides.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk more about that, and I'll tell you why that's important. Also, the loss of commercial bees to colony collapse disorder. That's CCD. And I don't know all that much about beekeeping, but it's so important that we need to start thinking along those lines. And thank God that there have been people thinking along those lines already.
Yeah.
You know, hey, B105, we're bees, right? No pun intended. But there's a lot that comes into play here, and there's a number of important steps that we can take to help these populations thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're talking about the inappropriate uses of pesticides. And when we talk about that, this is really interesting. If you have a plant that's in full bloom, for example, and it's has some insect issues, if you can postpone spraying that plant until it's out of bloom or remove the blooms right. before you spray that plant, that's being responsible. Mm-hmm. That's being a good steward. You're acting responsibly. So that's one approach. Spray early in the morning when there isn't any bee activity. Okay? So
good idea.
Various right. times throughout the day, you know, spray if you have to spray. Some of those plants that are riddled with insect issues, if you can prune that plant back with, you know, where it's going to respond favorably after the prune back, do that versus spray it with an insecticide. You know, and we talk about these products all the time, but I'm also here to try and put a lot of emphasis on we need to be responsible and do it in an appropriate fashion mm-hmm. if need be. So I don't know. Do you ever think about that when you're working in the landscape?
You know, listening to you talk about that also led me to think about that's why it's important for you to condition your lawn ahead of time so that you don't have to use a lot of those harsh chemicals to
absolutely.
Get to rid yourself of unwanted plants. If you can condition your lawn early enough to where you don't have that infestation of dandelions or other weeds that get in to your lawn, then you don't have to use those chemicals.
You know, that's a perfect one too, the dandelion. You know, pollinators love the dandelion, you know, mm-hmm. the bees. So if you have one or two that pops up in your yard and it's in bloom, don't spray it.
No.
You know, take your pocket knife out, get a little tool, dig down in there and pry it out of the ground. Or if you are going to spray it and, you know, you're adamant about spraying it, then at least cut the bloom off and then spray it. You know, therefore, you're not going to attract the bee to it.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
You know what I'm saying?
I didn't think about that.
So, you know, come on. You don't need to go to guns every time something pops up in your lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the flip side, you know, there are people who have lawns that are full of clover and all that other good stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they're perfectly okay with it. That's fine. You know, go for it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. For those who have a nice lawn and are very meticulous about it, get it into shape and just... Again, apply things in a responsible way.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very important. Like I said, I don't know how much you really think about that when you use products. When I was younger, I was always going to guns.
Yeah.
You know, I'd pull out the biggest shotgun in the gun case, and there I go. But now it's a totally, totally different approach for me.
Yep. Work a little smarter. Be a little more gentle to Mother Nature and help out all the other species on the planet.
So, you know, knowing that we need to intervene, what are some of the steps, Ernie, that you might think that we can take to help our pollinators along?
Plant more flowers.
Bingo. That's like A on my list. Plant more flowers. Flowers provide nectar, and in turn, they attract pollinators.
Mm-hmm.
So right, you're right on. You know, here's something else that's interesting too. Not a lot of us, but some of you, if you have fruit trees, and sometimes when the fruit drops to the ground, or if you have fruit-bearing shrubs, and the fruit drops to the ground, you know, as that fruit breaks down and ferments, that's food. You know, that attracts butterflies, you know, or bees, beetles. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, at the end of the season, we want to clean all that stuff up because we want to practice good culinary, sanitary mm-hmm. gardening techniques
yep.
to keep diseases from harboring themselves around
our plants.
And if you put
any of that in your compost pile, if it's on top, the bees and the other pollinators will find that.
There you go. You know, plant in groups to increase pollination efficiency. So instead of just planting one type of plant, you know, plant 12 or 15 of that plant mm-hmm. in a grouping.
Mm-hmm.
That's very beneficial. You know, plant a diversity of plants to support a variety of pollinators. And when I say that, you know, use plant flowers of different colors.
Sure. That's a beautiful thing there.
But, you know, seasons of bloom, you know, what you're planting, what's its bloom period? When does it go into bloom?
Yeah, and I guess you want to stagger those so you have plants blooming all season, if that's possible.
Absolutely.
You know, have early bloomers, some mid-summer bloomers, and then late bloomers to help along the way.
Think about it. You have early spring blooming plants,
mm-hmm.
mid-spring, late spring. Same applies for summer.
All
early summer,
more
mid-summer, all summer. And then you have those in the fall, the sedums, perfect example. You know, and it's amazing. Do you remember what I was telling you? When I think about fall, I think about the mumps and so forth. And unfortunately, I don't think they do the mammoth mumps anymore. But for those who have mammoth mumps in their garden beds, I'm just curious if you've ever experienced where you get a lot of fly activity on the mammoth mum. I would always notice that in the garden center. You know, the mammoth mums were just full of flies. So there's your pollinator. Fall pollinator. Very interesting, to say the least. Also, plant more natives. We'll talk about that as well. Plant more herbs. You know, herbs are pollinator attractors big time. Big time. And, you know, if you're, for example, butterflies, having rue in the garden, they like to feed on that. Parsley, the blacktail, or that was it, the swallowtail butterfly, you know, so those are very beneficial to have around. Zinnias are great. Who doesn't love the zinnia? Beautiful, beautiful blooms. Great for cut flowers right out of the garden. Cosmos, I love cosmos. You know, they're sunflowers. Don't you grow sunflowers?
Yeah, we did. Yep, as a matter of fact, and they're always busy. A lot of visitors on the sunflowers.
All the time. And last but not least, I'm going to say it one more time. Try to minimize or eliminate the use of pesticides unless you really, really, really absolutely have to go to that.
Love that. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, getting you ready for spring. We can feel it. It's in the air. Valentine's Day coming up next Wednesday. And, you know, there's a couple of things we need to share with you. We're going to talk about when we come back.
Well, we'll wrap up this pollinator thing with some of the zoo's best annuals for pollinators and some of the zoo's best perennials for pollinators.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Great day to get to your locally owned garden center and get ready for the holidays. We've been talking a lot about some pollinators, and to wrap up this conversation with a few more tips.
You know, just some of the zoo's best annuals for pollinators. It's a wonderful list that you can go out to the zoo's website and download it, print it. And look for some of these various pollinating plants and annuals and perennials at your local garden centers and nurseries. You can go to thecincinnatizoo.org and go to their horticultural part of the website. It's cincinnatizoo.org/horticulture. And there's some great information on there, a nice compiled listing of some of the best annuals that are really valuable to it, you know, beneficial in attracting pollinators. And just to throw a few out there, I was just talking about the zinnias just a little bit ago. Those are wonderful. They're great pollinators. I can't say this enough. Last year, I was just out on a deck one afternoon, and I've been planting a lot of lantana in a lot of our containers. And I know that just in the course of an hour or so, I was out there, I snapped a photograph of a hummingbird that was there, the hummingbird moth.
Oh, yeah.
The bumblebee.
Yeah.
Just a number of various things. It's amazing how many various pollinators that lantana will attract. And the real beauty of lantana is, as hot as some of the summers get and become, drought tolerant, and will give you nothing but stellar bloom production all season long.
Wow.
All season long. Cosmos, the dahlias, and especially Asclepias, which was the perennial plant of the year last year, the milkweed, you know, tuberosa, that's great. You know, like I said, some of the herbs. You know, another plant that, an annual that I think deserves more merit and attention, you know, around the landscape or in some of your containers and porch pots and so forth, is Evolvulus. It's called Blew My Mind, Blue Days. Yeah, it's a great plant. I love that plant. Really interesting, too. A beautiful blue bloom. And it kind of like, it gently just closes up in the evening as the sun goes down. You know, and it opens up during the day. So it's really, it's a beautiful plant. If you've never grown a volvulus, which is blue days, look for Blue My Mind. It will blow your mind.
It'll blow your mind, man.
Big time. Big time, man. You know what? I also, another plant that I think is very, very attractive are pentas. They love the sun, can take the heat, and that's another great butterfly attractor. So those are just a, you know, I'm throwing a few out there for you to definitely consider, make note of, get out to your local garden centers and nurseries and look for some of these plants this upcoming spring season. And just real quick, just to throw a couple of the perennial well worth having pollinators out there. You can't go wrong with Monarda. It goes by another common name called bee balm.
Bee balm.
And it attracts bees. I mean, you could have bees all over Monarda, carry it up to the counter, and they won't bother you. Okay? That's just how much I think of that plant.
Wow.
It's a great plant to have in a landscape.
Huh.
Something we don't talk about a lot either is good old Joe pieweed. That's a great one too. Mm-hmm. Asters, echinaceas. You know, last year we just, the bees were all over the echinaceas in the garden center. It just, you can go on and on and on and on. Nepeta. We have some beautiful Nepeta Walker's Low out in the front here.
Right.
It's awesome. So these are plants I want you to look for at your local garden centers and nurseries. And get with some of the folks, some of the staff members at some of the local garden centers and nurseries when you're visiting those places this spring and just say, hey, what would you recommend for pollinators? Or even better, go out to the Cincinnati Zoo website, go to the horticultural section, and just make a copy of this list. Take it with you to the garden centers.
Well, that's a great idea. That way you have that inside information when you go in, walk up, and that's where you get the best advice. You know, we were talking earlier about what plants to select from when you go to your locally owned garden center. You've got an expert waiting on you.
There you go.
To help you out.
That's what it's all about.
Sort through the information.
Absolutely.
Make the right decision.
So you have all that, the pollinator information and happy pollination. Right?
That's right. So what do you have planned for Valentine's Day? You asked me about Lisa and I. What about you and Tina?
It's called work.
Work.
Yeah.
I guess for you guys in the industry, that is a day you don't miss.
And you think, after work, you might want to go out and do something?
No.
It doesn't matter if it's during the week or if it's the weekend.
Uh-huh.
You can't wait to get home and veg and have a drink.
Sure.
They just take the edge off of the day.
After spreading all that love and sharing all that happiness, leave me alone.
It is a... this is kind of, it doesn't sound right, but it's a long but quick day.
Sure.
And, you know, by the time you were able to look up, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that busy for us.
But the most important thing we want to advise you is to get to or contact your local florist, local garden center today, tomorrow. Don't wait till Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock and try to get something done. So plan ahead and send it to your significant other's place of employment.
Big time.
That makes the world of difference.
And you know what? You don't have to do it on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Do it next Monday. Do it next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So they can leave it on their desk.
Sure.
So they'll see it the following day and Wednesday, Valentine's Day. And here's something else. Beware. Don't go onto websites that mimic other florists and use other florist names. I will tell you that's pretty common. You'll end up getting deeply entwined into the internet and you could be charged extraordinary delivery charges and so forth. Just get on the phone, call your local florist directly now, or make sure you're on your local florist that you patronize often,
mm-hmm.
their website only.
Right.
There are order gatherers out there and that's all they are. They do not have a brick and mortar storefront.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do, they'll take your order. If we charge you $5 for a delivery, they're going to charge you $12.95. They get to pocket that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pass that delivery on to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's it burns me up. it really does. It's a false, it's a misrepresentation of our industry. Our industry is not like that.
Right.
But there are just order gatherers. Also, when you hear prices of roses, you got to stop and think a moment. You know, it's the roses, you know, they're like cars. There's various styles and types of cars. There's different types of roses. You know, there's 40-centimeter roses, 60-centimeter roses. There's Floribunda roses. There's spray roses. And a lot of times when you hear that they're $19.95 or $9.99, they're not arranged. You know, what's the grade of them? If you want a true, if you really truly want to know how good a rose is, just take your index finger and your thumb and gently squeeze the base of that rose. And if it's nice and firm, it's a good quality rose.
I didn't know that tip.
And also, when you cut roses, cut them at a 45-degree angle. Don't feel compelled to take the thorns off. You start taking a pocket knife or picking the thorns off, you disrupt the water flow up through the rose.
More damage.
And then the heads will drop.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. I have to pause for a moment when we come back.
It's February, and what does that mean? We're really close to starting to take a hard look at the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, I'm going to tell you what you need to know if you need to reseed.
We'll be right back.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.